We are back with Beach and Company. I'm Sandy Beach, and I'm so jealous of Andre Rieu. We've seen three times in the last, 4 years. He's just fantastic, worldwide recognition, and has a beautiful Stradivarius, and the women adore Andre Rieu. And when we interviewed him, he was such a nice guy, such a good guy. He sent us a selfie while we were talking to him, actually. And he does other things besides lead the orchestra. One of the things that we just saw online is he cooks. He's a cook when he has time, and he, in the castle. He actually lives in a castle, and he cooks. And it showed him with his latest creation, a beautiful, and I mean beautiful, intricate cheesecake. It looks like something Olson's might make. It's that good. That can't be easy to do. Bernie, would that be an easy thing to do, a cheesecake? No, she's shaking her head. No, especially one that's that ornate. It looks really, yeah, it's in layers. So even when he's not being adored while on stage, he's cooking in the kitchen, so he's one of the coolest guys around. Let's go to Jeff in Clarence, which should be online too. Jeff, you're on WBEN.
Hey, Sandy.
Hey, Jeff. What's going on today?
Okay, first of all, I got to talk about your episode there. That's one of the best episodes ever, and it starred William Shatner.
That's true. Yep.
Yeah, that saw the little monster ripping away at the motor. And he went crazy. Remember, he shot the monster, and the plane almost went down. And then they were arresting him at the end, and they went and saw the motor, and the motor was completely eaten up, and they realized that he was telling the truth the whole time.
People still talk about that episode, and they have great memories of that whole show. Week after week, it was pretty good. And he had a lot of ties to Ithaca, New York. He died in Rochester at Strong, and is buried somewhere here in Western New York.
It's really neat to watch those old shows like that, like The Rifleman and Bonanza, because there were so many great stars that made their beginnings in those shows.
If you watch those two shows, practically every star, especially those of Westerns, shows up when they were 20 years old. It's really, really cool. Burt Reynolds was the blacksmith in Gunsmoke, and they had all of these people at the beginning of their careers. And it's fun to watch those shows because they're no-brainers. You don't have to think. You can just sit there and enjoy it and watch them.
Right. How about Sammy Davis Jr. in The Rifleman as that trick shootist? That was a great episode, but Sammy Davis Jr. in complete black cowboy outfit. Unbelievable.
I loved when he was on, Archie Bunker kissed him. He kissed Archie Bunker, actually. That might be more like it. And it was just a breathtaking moment in comedy. It was fabulous. So I'm glad you enjoyed those shows there. Thank you very much. Thank you for calling. Okay, the next one will be Phyllis on line one. Phyllis, you're on WBEN.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know that about last year, about this time, my husband and I and my son visited his gravesite. It's in Interlaken, New York. I think it's called the Lakeside Memorial Cemetery. It was quite interesting. There's a website that you can look up the markings of, where someone's cemetery is and the plot number and whatnot. So we found it way back in the cemetery. And, you know, I thought maybe there'd be like a headstone or something. No, it's a small, flat, tiny, it's not big. Small little flat grave, and it was interesting because there was a letter written from his son. In fact, I took a picture, and it was put in between plastic, like laminated, and it was. And there were a lot of cigarette butts because you know that he
smoked. Yeah,
heart attacks. He smoked a ton.
If you look, and I have, at where famous people are buried, some have very modest markings, some are very ornate, but most of them are not that ornate for their position in life. Most of them are pretty humble.
I was expecting something a little bit bigger, but I took it for what it's worth. But there were also a lot of pens and pencils, little notes from people because he was quite the writer. But it was interesting. His parents are also buried there too. And he had a cottage, I believe, in Cayuga Lake. And the cemetery is maybe 20 minutes from the town of Ithaca.
Very interesting. Yeah, Interlaken is where he is buried. Well, thank you for that information. Thank you for the call, Phyllis. Appreciate it. Yeah, people have great memories of him. During the simpler days of television, where content, kind of mattered because the scenery was kind of cheesy. Like if you watched The Lone Ranger, okay, if you watch The Lone Ranger as a series, you'll see that if the Lone Ranger's chasing somebody, he's chasing them past that same fake rock. There's always one rock in there that he goes by to show you that they weren't an expensive remote locations. They did a lot right there in the studio, and it's fun to kind of pick that out. Also, you know what's fun to do? Try and guess what is real scenery and what is painted scenery. Because this is most of those shows were before CGI, so you would have to see it and guess. You'd see them sitting by the campfire, and you know that's a stage they're sitting on because you can see the background, which is hills and trees and whatever, hand-painted.
That worst was Lost in Space for that. Oh, my God, the sets were cheesy.
It looks so cheesy because they had no budget, really, and especially outdoor stuff. You know, when you have a horse in the picture, you gotta look real around it because a horse isn't naturally something that's comfortable on a stage, walking on boards.
You can almost hear the cardboard when they sit on something.
But it's the rocks that I look for in the Lone Ranger. All right, let's take a break and we'll return on News Radio 930. This is WBEN. I had an idea. I kind of was daydreaming the other day, and on television they were doing a thing about the checks that are going to be sent out to a lot of Americans. And one of the things they showed was a printing press at the Mint. And the printing press was printing, I didn't see the denominations, but it was printing paper money, just sheet after sheet after sheet after sheet. And I thought a good plot for a show would be a boy who sat on Santa Claus's lap, and it turned out he was good all year, and what did you want? He would like to be able to have a few dollars. And then he goes to bed that night on Christmas Eve. He wakes up Christmas morning, and there's a machine that looks like a printer. And he doesn't know what's going on. He pushes the button, and the sheet after sheet after sheet of money comes tumbling out. And I'm thinking, wouldn't you love to have a machine like that for 5 minutes? 2 minutes. And that would be unbelievable, to have all the money before it's even cut. Yes. Well, let's go to line three, and that would be Fred in New Mexico. Hello there, Fred.
Good morning. Nice sunny day here.
It's not bad here, Fred. It's going to be, 46 and a few showers here and there.
Oh, that's not too bad, I guess.
Not too bad. Huh? So how's it going today, Fred?
Good. I was, we're staying in like they've asked people to do. But I find that it really, in my case, doesn't affect me at all. The only thing we go out to do grocery shopping, and that isn't much of a deal. People are meandering around doing their stuff too.
Yeah, it's not like a getaway. You go there, and now in the circumstances we're in, you just want to get it done. Hopefully you can find what you want and go home.
No, it's not like that at all. It's like nothing's changed.
Well, I'm sure that being in New Mexico, it's a beautiful state. You could go out and get some fresh air, do something outside.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's beautiful right now, and people do. You see them walking. But you see, the same people do the walking every time.
Sure. You know what I'd like to do? I wish I still had a horse. I still have the tack. I have the saddle and the bridle and all that, because this is the kind of day where you go to the stable, you'd clean the horse, you'd saddle the horse up, and go out on a trail ride. There's nothing more relaxing than that. You could be with a small group of people, or you could be alone. You get the fresh air. You get the smells of Mother Nature. It's really nice. And talk to anybody that has horses. You spend a lot of time taking care of them and making sure they're healthy and all that. But when you're actually riding them, it's phenomenal. It's there's nothing like it. And I'd love to be riding a horse
now,
in your country, I'll tell you that.
You know, I did that one time.
How did it go?
For a horse race.
Yeah, how did it go? How did the horse race, how did the horse ride go?
Yeah, and the horse didn't like me, I guess. He took me.
Horses can tell. Horses can tell if you're uncomfortable. They know it. And if it's a rental horse at a stable, they know that as soon as they get through with you, they can go back and maybe have some grain. So they know how to get back. You could loosen the reins, and they would go right back right to the stable. Just don't let go of the reins, but you could loosen them, and they'd know exactly how to get back home. Thank you, Fred. Thank you very much. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. Now, horses are not inexpensive, and you have to feed them. You have to keep them groomed. You need a blacksmith out there on a regular basis, the vet on a regular basis. But, boy, when it's working, it's working. Either of you guys ever ridden a horse?
One time, and I was really sore the next day.
Oh, so you were bouncing your tush off the saddle.
Yeah. I didn't know you're supposed to stand up in the stirrups.
Well, not stand up, but you're supposed to at least put enough strain on your muscles
right,
that you're not just flopping on and off the saddle. How about you, Buzzy? Have you ridden a horse?
I did in the old Boulevard Mall food court. Does that not count?
A plastic horse?
That's right.
You rode a plastic horse?
Well, they gave you a bag of popcorn after the ride was over.
Oh, my God. That is too much. Yeah, a lot of people are afraid of horses. There's no need. You know, don't be dumb. You don't walk right in back of them or anything like that. But there's no need to be afraid of them unless they're, you know, some nasty. I mean, I guess there's some nasty horses like there are nasty people.
Old El Diablo.
Yeah. The nasty people are usually at the presidential press conference.
Ooh.
I wish he would just say what he's going to say and then say goodbye.
Right, yes.
Don't even, why open it up to questions when they're not even real questions? They're not to learn anything. They're just there to try and trip you up, to get a little soundbite, to show that you made a mistake or you were incompetent. That's all they're there for. I think, I don't know why he feels it's necessary to do it. I wish he'd stop it.
I love it. I love it. Keep calling them out. It's brilliant.
Yeah, he called a couple out yesterday.
Yes.
Two of them, within three people, two of them got called out. And the first one, that little nerd, I don't know who he is, but what would you say to people that don't like you and think you're not doing the right thing? I mean, come on, what kind of a question is that? I don't see it as legitimate at all.
Yeah, but I do agree, Sandy, that, you know, there's no point of him to keep taking these questions because no one's watching it. It's every other network dumps out of it, and then they give you a summary of what they want you to think it was, not what it actually was. So, yeah, I mean, he's saying all the right things we like to hear, but for those independent voters that are just going to read what he said and not actually watch the question and answer, it's not really helping any cause.
Yeah, and like they always bring a survey out. Survey shows that Joe Biden would beat Trump by 2 points. And where is Joe Biden? Trump is saving the world. Where's Joe Biden? He's in the basement of his house.
He's drooling.
He's drooling incoherently at the basement of his house.
Thinking that it's 1994 and he's running for Senate in South Carolina.
It's pretty pretty rugged. Let's go to Gary in Williamsville. Gary, you're on WBEN. Hello, Gary.
Andy.
Hi, Gary. What's going on today?
I've worked out of my home office for 20 years, and I would like to give the people that are finding this new to them three pieces of advice.
Okay, three pieces. Number one,
look like you're at work. Second, act like you're at work. Third, do the same amount of work in your home office as you were doing while you're at your regular office.
It sounds like good advice. You're differentiating from just being home and leisurely, and you're getting something accomplished.
And if you can do all of those things, and believe me, they are quite difficult to do, you'll be okay.
Mine is the opposite. Now I'm in my own room in my own house. I'm not at the radio station where there are certain rules and regulations, and I feel like I have a little more flexibility and leeway, although I have it at work. I even have more of it at home, so I kind of like that.
Yeah, it depends on the job that you're doing, but if you try to stick with those three rules, you'll be okay. There are untold distractions when you're in your home. You have to overcome those.
Now, I agree. I mentioned earlier that where you work shouldn't just look like the rest of your house. If you can kind of separate yourself a little bit so that it's maybe upstairs or in a corner room where not everybody's walking by every 2 minutes or there's a lot of distractions outside the window or things like that. Is that good advice to try and stay focused as best you can?
Yes, that is excellent advice. I have a room in the house that is the office, and the doors are closed, and when I'm at work, I'm at work.
Well, it sounds like you've got it handled.
But
go ahead.
It takes a tremendous amount of discipline to do this, and it's not an easy thing. People think it's going to be great. It's not great. It's not easy. But long-term, if you can do it, it's nice.
Well, especially if you're making a living at it. If that is your profession and you're making a living, I mean, some professions would be easier to do it. Is it easier now that computers have really advanced than when you first started doing it?
Was using computers from day one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that was the connection point to the company.
So all of your witticisms that when you call us, you usually have one. They're all conceived in a separate room of your house than where you would be living.
That's correct.
How about that? Well, you've got it down. Thank you, Gary. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Gary always has some good things. And, yeah, separate it. Make sure it's different. If I had to do this for the rest of my career, the one thing that I wouldn't give in to, I would not want to get dressed like I'm going to work. I'm not in pajamas, but I'm in sweats and a sweatshirt and stuff like that. Just be comfortable. Not that I dress up, because I don't. None of us do in radio. But the bottom line is that's the one thing I wouldn't give in to. All right, let's take a break and return on News Radio 930. Cuomo at 11:30. So we might go to Cuomo next. Who knows? We're back after this.